Okay, welcome to Anchorage East Rotary Club, the July 15th meeting, where we do good, have fun, and make friends. And we're going to have a special person leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance today. We've changed just a little bit. We're going to ask our exchange student, Jimmy, our inbound, to come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, because this is Jimmy's last week here. Come on up, Jimmy.
Just turn around and say it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pledge of Allegiance still flying.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jimmy, thank you very much. We're going to miss that young man. He's been a wonderful exchange student, and by the way, he knew every word of it. Okay, Inspiration by Suzanne Yack. Suzanne?
Thank you very much, President Rick and Sergeant at Arms Dave. If anybody just wants to sit down, that would be fine. Today's inspiration is something that we can all relate to when we're over 40, because all of us are facing people who are facing terminal illness or some sort of impending life situation. So this is a small essay from a Dr. Edward Cregan, who is an oncological surgeon at the Mayo Clinic. His name is, and it's called Coping with Adversity. Some of the challenges we face cannot be easily fixed or remedied because of their complexity and the associated social, economic, and health entanglements. So what can we do? As a hospice and end-of-life physician and medical oncologist, I often ask patients how they deal with some of these very difficult problems. A couple of themes emerged in the process. One, a sense of meaning and purpose. This is the reason you get up in the morning. It may be as simple as taking care of a loved one or a pet. A supportive community, in other words, feeling a connection to others. This is your family in the broadest sense, including the beloved dog or cat. A focus on moving forward, often expressed as, okay, I'm not happy about what happened, so I need to make the best of this predicament. In other words, focusing on what you can learn from experience and moving on. And finally, living in the moment, embracing today and not looking too far forward down the road. After all, none of us can predict the future.
Thank you very much. That's very nice, Suzanne. Also, I'd like to thank the team captains, Sally Archer and Kevin Barrick, once again. Thank you guys for being team captains this month. And our greeters, Lynn Allingham and Terry Allard. And once again, Gloria Castagnano is our greeting. Gloria is our continual volunteer greeter when there's always a vacancy. So thanks to Lynn and Terry and Gloria. Okay, let's have Visiting Rotarians and Guests by Mark Niedermeyer. Mark?
Thank you. I'd like to welcome Chad Johnson visiting us from Anchorage Hillside Rotary, classification aircraft accident investigation.
Hi, Chad.
Okay. And that was Clint, excuse me. Visiting from Anchorage South Rotary, Sue Sampson, classification medicine and home health nursing.
Hi, Sue. Welcome back, Sue. Nice to have you back here, former member. Good to see you here.
And we have a number of out-of-town Rotarians with us today. From White Plains, New York, George Hagans, Classification Youth Services. From Palmer, Alaska, Debbie Rutherford, classification ex-banker and entrepreneur. From Louvain, Belgium, we have Jean Foley, classification petroleum.
Jean, I have a flag for you up here if you'd like to trade flags or come forward. And if you'd like to say a word about your club in Belgium, that would be terrific. Okay.
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 Yeah. Out of focus. Okay. We got it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I'm Gene Foley. I'm an American. I've lived out of the States, though, for over 30 years and currently living in Louvain, Leuven, Belgium, one of the historic university cities of Europe. Our club has been was founded in 1935, was active since then, except during the war, when they had to meet Sub Rosa because the Germans occupied Louvain at that time. Our club has a few projects. Interestingly, in Europe, so much of the welfare is carried out by the government, and we pay very high taxes, that it's actually difficult to find good projects, but we do find them where something falls between the crack, between the cracks, where there is handicap. It doesn't fit in either education or medical, and some organizations doing very good work, and those are the kind we try to support. This is our banner. On the bottom is our town hall that was built in 1450 by the Burgundians. Yep. Oh, and incidentally, we're also the worldwide headquarters of Anheuser InBev, the company that bought Anheuser-Busch here. Boo, everybody said boo.
I'm sure that's a plus.
And our final visiting Rotarian this morning from Eagan, Minnesota, Ed Neppel, Classification Accounting.
Okay, I wasn't quite sure which one of those was a foreign country, New York, Minnesota, or Homer, Alaska, or Belgium. So, Sandra. Okay, whoop, hold it a second.
We have another visiting Rotarian,
he is a visiting Rotary in addition to that. Welcome. Please stand up. We'll get a chance later on to meet Jimmy's whole family, and I have got to tell you, we love your son. He is just wonderful. He's a wonderful young man. Okay, I'd like to introduce the head table. We have on your left Alonzo Henderson, and I've asked each one of them what their favorite fine dining restaurant was in town, if I find first or second choice or both. And Alonzo said his two are Simon's and Gallo's. And Gallo's is otherwise known as Gallo's if you actually speak Spanish, but they conceded to the Americans and call it Gallo's. So Simon's and Gallo's, and we have Michelle Drew, and her favorite restaurant is Simon's. And we have Dennis Bookie, and Dennis's favorite restaurant is Ginger and Orso. Ginger's a new restaurant on 4th Avenue, very good, and Orso. So our Rotarians of the head table on my left, please give them a round of applause. And we have on your right, my left, we have our speaker, Jim Pepper Henry, the head of the museum, and Anna Marie Moglen, who's going to introduce him and inspire us about museums. So let's have a round of applause for these folks, too. Okay, I'd like to ask you now to look at the yellow cups and see if you can contribute a dollar or two to the yellow cups to help out our inbound students coming in this year, and may even be a final bit of help for Jimmy. So if you can remember that, the yellow cups. And now it's time to go to our Sergeant-at-Arms, David Young, our Sergeant-at-Arms.
Thank you, Rick. What a beautiful weekend we had. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, because this weather has been incredible. In fact, I'm going to put the first happy dollar in. This is for getting healthy quick. And this is a true story. Rollin', 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 our president Rick is moanin', while wakeboarding at Finger Lake he's down.
I actually, what Dave's referring to is I've got two broken ribs on my left side from wakeboarding, which was a great deal of entertainment for the emergency room at Providence, by the way. As I checked in there, the receptionist called the doctor, the nurse in the back room, and said, we have a 65-year-old gentleman here, and I couldn't hear the other side of the conversation, but her side of the conversation went something like this. We have a 65-year-old gentleman here who thinks he might have some broken ribs. And she said, yeah, wakeboarding. And then she said, 65. And then she said again, wakeboarding. Oh, that hurt. I shouldn't have laughed. And then she said, his name's Richard Maestrom. And then she said, no, I don't think so. And then she said, well, I'll ask him. And she said, are you related to the guy who used to be mayor? I said, yeah, I'm him. And she said, oh. And then she said, yes, he is. So that was the initial conversation at Providence.
Yeah, it sounded like a thunder as he made a great big blunder, and now he's taking Advil all month long.
Bravo.
Oh,
President Rick, fellow Rotarian, Susan Bunker here. I want to thank these brave souls for sitting at this happy meal table. But the kids are out harassing the janitor in their fort underneath the stairs, so it's going to be quiet. President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I'm Susanna Morgan. I was filling in for Dave Kester at the Mobile Food Pantry this weekend. We had a fabulous turnout, kind of last minute, but everybody pulled through. So everyone who showed up for the Mobile Food Pantry, could you please stand? Let's give them all a round of applause.
A round of applause. Sergeant at Arms Dave, can I ask Suzanne, how did the MRI for your daughter turn out? Please
thank,
tell us.
Thank you for asking. He was completely normal. Everything is fine with Reese.
Good.
So thank you for asking.
Good.
How about here?
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, Sergeant at Arms, Dave, Mr. Policeman, something of that sort. I'm Sally Archer, and I am inviting you to attend our first social gathering of the new year. It's a flyer. All the details are on this flyer on your table. Attached to this blue flyer is a map. See? A very clear map. You can find this map on your table as well as on the front table over here. We're looking for people to sign up so that our hosts may know who is arriving and how many people will be with you. This is the new board summer social at Maestrom's Lake House. Did I tell you we want you to sign up? Please sign up. We really want you to sign up, please. And you can do that on this piece of paper on each of your tables.
And Sally, I'm also gonna give free wakeboard lessons for anybody who would like to listen.
He's almost useless.
Good afternoon, President Rick, Sergeant Arms Dave, and fellow Rotarians. I'm really happy. Last week, we met a couple of really great people. Lynn Lloyd, would you stand up? She's a general manager at Arctic Valley. And because of the overwhelming round of applause you gave, she really would like to become a Rotarian.
Uh-huh.
Also, you all know Tim Wilson. Stand up, Tim. Tim Wilson is with Northwest Strategies, formerly of KTUU Channel 2. You all know him, and he does want to be a Rotarian. So please, please, please make sure you talk to them today. Talk to them next Wednesday. Make sure you show them what we're all about, and that is making new friends, making new Rotarians, and helping out East Anchorage Rotary.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Lance.
President Rick, Sergeant Arms Dave, just to announce road cleanup on the 29th between the Seward Highway and Lake Otis on Northern Lights, and I promise fun and games and a prize for some item to be found along the road.
Oh, those are always interesting. Those
John, that's tomorrow at 5:30? 29th at 5:30, okay.
Anybody else? One of my favorites.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, I have a happy dollar today because my cousin-in-law, Paula, is here, a member of the AKA. There are 1,400 of them in town, and they're in pink and green. And also, her husband, my cousin, George, is here, and that's why I'm happy.
Well, Rotarians, it's good to be back in Anchorage again. I have been here before, and thank you for your hospitality. Now, in White Plains, though, we sing to our guests. And since you did not sing to me, I'll sing to you. Hello, hello, we're glad you're here to meet with us and dine with us and spend a little time with us. And so we sing with might and main. We hope you like us well enough to come again. R-O-T-A-R-Y, that spells Rotary. R-O-T-A-R-Y, it's known on land and sea and in the air. From north to south, from east to west, we profit most who serves the best. R-O-T-A-R-Y. Why, that spells Rotary.
Thank you, George.
I'm Eleanor Andrews, and I didn't plan to make an announcement. I don't have any money. So you can... I think that he's channeling Barry White. And I got spotted for my dollar.
It's George, man. He's got all the answers. Thank you.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, my name is Diana Strzok, and I've been gone for the last 2 weeks because I've had 22 days of company. And so I have $1 for my first guest, Liz Forer, my Rotary mom and a former member of this club. And my second dollar is for my daughter and granddaughter who were here, and my daughter hadn't been here for 5 years, and we had a wonderful time. And my third dollar is for Sue and Harold Foley, who treated us to fresh salmon and made an extra effort to make sure we had it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue.
I'm told you're a singing club. Are you a singing club?
We are. Diane Louise is here someplace. So there she is.
Well, when I was president of the Palmer Club in 99 to 2000, I required the club to sing so that they would learn the words to the Alaska Flag song every meeting. Yes, and it was great, and I would highly suggest it, and was wondering if enough of your members knew the words. Oh, no. I can't carry a tune in a basket, but I can follow.
Well, we could be doing a lot of singing here. I don't know. We'll have to see. Dave will probably lead us in all of this. You'll get that.
Yeah, right. Okay.
We do have what?
We have Sue. Yeah.
We got all kinds of talent in this group. Any other happy or proud dollars at this table? Moving on. We do. We have two out-of-town guests. We've got Kevin Pickard, is that right? And his wife is here to join us today. And Kevin, I would like to get a flag for you, so just bear with me. You got the mic.
Surely. Thank you very much. I'm from Fredericksburg, Texas. A past president of our club and done a lot of other things in our club. And Fredericksburg is a little town about 10,000 people. Our county is 20,000 people, and we also have the largest deer herd in the country in our county. We have 140,000 deer, so that's about, what, 6 deer for every man, woman, and child. They overrun the place. We have in Fredericksburg some famous people that came from there. Admiral Nimitz is from Fredericksburg. Lyndon Johnson is his home county. The ranch is a little east of town. and also General Hagee, who's a former Marine Commandant. He's from Fredericksburg as well. And the George Bush Museum of the Pacific War is located in Fredericksburg, Texas. I'd like to present the club with our pennant. It has a picture of Johnson and Nimitz on it, but I hope that doesn't offend anyone, but they are from the area, and we do appreciate it. I certainly enjoy your hospitality, and I'm here in Anchorage because my daughter and son-in-law and three grandchildren live here in Anchorage. Son-in-law is a vice president with the Siri Corporation. So, again, let me present this to Dave. And Dave, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We both, Hetsy, my wife Hetsy, and I enjoy Anchorage very much. We've been here before. Thank you very much. Thank you, and welcome back to Alaska. I'm working my way over.
President Rick, Sergeant Arms Dave, I can't believe you're singing. That's so great, Dave. I have a happy buck because I have my niece Logan here from Minnesota. Logan? And also, you know the I that's on your Rotary pin that says Rotary International? Next, we're going to preempt the first social event next Friday night, July 25th. We've got a friendship exchange team of Rotarians coming in from Taipei Metro East as a friendship exchange, and we've got five families in our club are going to be hosting, and we're going to have a little potluck on Saturday night at Christine Castanopoulos' house. I'll send an email out, so if you'd like to have some friendship fellowship with some great folks from Taipei, come on over and RSVP to my email when I send it out later today. Thank you.
Logan was also at the food pantry feeding the homeless. She's got a little bit of class. Anybody else at this table? How about over here? Ah, Jimmy.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Jimmy.
Today, I have many happy dollars. My first happy dollar is because I got a really big surprise. I didn't know about it, but all of you knew about it. My family came over, so that's a happy dollar, and I want to introduce my family to you. Stand up, please. She is my mom. Her name is Maria Aurora. She's a Rotarian. My dad, Jaime, like me, he's a Rotarian too. And my sister, Lucero, she was an exchange student in South Korea last year. So, yeah, that's my family. Then I have a second happy dollar because I have a guest here. She's Carly. She's an outbound student to Thailand this year from Pittsburgh Club. I have another happy dollar because last week, Kathleen gave me a flight to go to Fairbanks to visit my friend. So it was pretty nice. It was a pretty nice week. So that's a happy dollar for that. And then I have another happy dollar because yesterday I went with my parents and with Sandra to Taquitna. And my parents got to fly over Mount McKinley and land on the glacier. So I was really happy for them. And the last happy dollar is because all the people that made possible my friends came here. So, thank you.
Jimmy, thank you very much. Your parents have got to be so proud.
fellow Rotarians, I too am very happy that Jimmy's family could go to the cabin with us on Monday and Tuesday, and we had a wonderful time getting to know each other. Jimmy's father would like to speak to you. Before we do that, though, I wanted to add to the list of people who showed up for the mobile food pantry, our refugee family. All of them came because, you know, last week the notice came out saying, help, we only have 5 people. So I called them and said, can you make time to come do this? And they said, yes, of course, we'll be happy to. So they're participating with us. And also, just in case Jaime, Jimmy's father, doesn't mention it, Aurora also participates in Rotary. In Mexico, they, in the older clubs, they have what's called Damas de Rotary. This is from when the sexes were segregated, and they still have women's Rotary clubs. So she's also a participating Rotarian. And Jaime has a banderín that he would like to present also. Y vamos a juntarnos para voy a traducir. I'm going to translate. He's going to do what he can do, and I'm going to translate.
Thank you, Sandra. My English is bad. I need help. Es para mí un honor estar ante ustedes de mi club Rotario de Teciutlán, Puebla, México.
It's a pleasure to be here with your club and to present greetings from my club in Teciutlán.
Reciban un abrazo y un saludo muy afectuoso de todos los miembros.
And here's something you don't get from American clubs. You get a big hug from the members of his club, an affectionate big hug.
Y les traigo la bandera de mi club.
And he presents to us the banner from his club. And I hope you'll have a chance to look at it. It has a very interesting shield on it. And then maybe he can explain to us what some of the details are in that after the meeting.
Quiero agradecerles como padre el haber recibido a Jimmy con tanto amor.
And he says he wants to thank you, from both of the parents for having received Jimmy and been so loving with him.
Mi esposa, mi hija y yo estamos muy orgullosos de nuestro hijo y estamos muy agradecidos por el calor, el cariño y el cuidado que le han dado.
He said that his wife and his daughter and he are very proud of Jimmy, but they're also so grateful for all the care and attention that has been given to Jimmy, and they're very proud of him.
Está tan a gusto con ustedes que tuvimos que venir por él porque no se quiere ir.
He's having such a good, Jimmy's having such a good time with us that he doesn't want to leave, and it was a good thing they came to make sure he goes home with them.
Thank you.
And we're going to double preempt Rick's first social. I thought it was going to be the first social, but now will be the second social. This didn't get into the bulletin, but we'll send a notice. On Monday evening, there's going to be an open house drop-in between 6 and 9 to say goodbye to Jimmy and to greet his family. Very informal. Bring something munchy. Bring something to drink. We'll have a little bit of food and drink there. And we'll send out a notice with the directions. But please come by and say goodbye to Jimmy.
Thank you, Sandra.
Sergeant-at-Arms, Dave, before you leave, let me say to the family of Jimmy, con su parte de todos los Rotario Anchorage, nuestra casa es su casa, nuestra ciudad es su ciudad, y también, más importante, nuestra corazón es su corazón.
I taught Rick that. Any happy dollars, proud dollars at this table?
We have Dave. We have Walter Featherly has continued his 100% attendance for this Rotary year.
Walter,
congrats! That'll be a dollar at least. 100% attendance after just 2 weeks.
Wow! Welcome back, Walter. Got anything to say?
So far, so good. You know, like the man who jumped out of the 14-story building, sixth floor down, waved and said, "So far, so good."
Okay. Thank you. President Rick, fellow Rotarians, honored guests, I'm going to give a happy dollar in recognition of Rick Benjamin, who helped out last month with one of my employees. Once in a while, occasionally on a cruise tour vacation, someone will not have a good ending and pass away, and we had that happen. And Rick was able to assist one of my employees with his esteemed counseling ability in helping the spouse of our guest and help to get that person back. So thank you very much, Rick. Michelle.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I'm Michelle Tabler, and I'd like to introduce one of my coworkers, Bon Stewart, who is from our business banking group, and an ex-Rotarian from Ketchikan for 5 years. So hopefully he's going to look to be a Rotarian again now that he's up in Anchorage.
Yeah, just pleasure to be here. I was a Rotarian in Ketchikan and also in Kenai, so I look forward to you maybe joining this club. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Great. And he's in the para, too. Rick?
Dave, we have the no fine button with Rochelle Edelin. Rochelle, do you want to say anything?
Oh, yeah.
With the wonderful hotel, Captain Cook. Or do you want to wait until next week and say it twice as long?
I think I can talk a lot longer than that, President Rick. I'm not going to talk this time.
Okay. Thanks, Rochelle. Okay. Whoops. Oh, a happy dollar up here, Michelle. Oh, Michelle Drew.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, once again, on behalf of the Foreign Exchange Youth Exchange Committee, I would like to offer you this fabulous opportunity to host a foreign exchange student in your own home, with your own family, with your own children. We do have an inbound student. She's planning to arrive mid-August, and we are looking for a placement for her. So if anyone in this room is interested, please come and see me after this meeting. We would really like for our Rotary Club members to step up and host this family, or host the student. But if you don't have the ability to do that, but you know someone who does have the ability to do that, if you could forward those names to me as well, that would be greatly appreciated. Right now, the person is scheduled to go to Diamond High School, but that could be flexible if all of the families were located in a different district, but nearby each other.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Okay, thank you, Michelle. Okay, we want to get right into our speaker. We have what's going to be a very good speech today, and to introduce our speaker is Anna Marie Moglen. Anna Marie.
Thank you. Thank you, President Rick, fellow Rotarians. I've just returned from a vacation in New York City, where my daughter and I spent an entire day at the Metropolitan Museum. Being 14, she was excited to see the Model as Muse exhibit. I wanted her to get acquainted with the museum as a landmark, a space steeped in the very finest details of historic preservation, and as it turned out, the hippest scene in town. On that Friday, late in the afternoon, we went up to the rooftop where there was a gathering space for many, many hip, young New Yorkers to be amongst a beautiful sculptural exhibit. It really blew me away. Having said that, I feel very privileged today to be able to introduce our guest speaker, Director and CEO James Pepper Henry, because the Anchorage Museum at Rasmussen Center has stepped up to some of those very same identifiers under his leadership. The crowds on reopening day were a prime example of that. The fact that I got a ticket to see the gold exhibit at 11:30 p.m. that night is another sign that we're on the road to hip. James Pepper Henry is an enrolled member of the Kaw Nation of Oklahoma and is of Muskogee Creek heritage. He was the visual arts manager for the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center in Portland, Oregon, and the interim curator of the American Indian Art at the Portland Art Museum, before he went on to serve 9 years with the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. being responsible for all outreach programs for Native constituents throughout the Western Hemisphere, Jim Pepper Henry is the consummate connector. When I invited Jim to be the Concert Association's guest at our gala last year, he was the hippest guy in the room. He came in a vintage blue tuxedo. I was impressed. I am so glad to introduce the very well-connected and very hip Jim Pepper Henry.
I'm so hip, I brought my own computer.
Yeah, hook it up real quick.
Well, last March, President Rick here challenged me to a game of table tennis, and he waxed me. And now that he has a few broken ribs, I think I might have a chance, so we got to try this again sometime. Well, how many of you had a chance to come by the Anchorage Museum lately since we reopened the expansion on May 30th? Oh, and my assistant Erin said she's been there since then, so that's great. And let's see here. So we have visuals. Uh-oh. There we go. It's thinking. So I have a little slide PowerPoint presentation for you today. And we'll get right into it. Now, yes, I've been in Anchorage for about a year and a half. I came from the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian. I went to grad school in Fairbanks many years ago. I don't want to tell you how many years ago, because then you'll figure out how old I am. But it was in a different millennium, let's put it that way. And I always thought that someday I might end up back in Alaska, and I'm glad to be here. And actually, Rick Meistrom is on our museum building committee, helping to oversee all of the construction activities at the Anchorage Museum. And I have to tell you, I feel very fortunate to be here at the Anchorage Museum at this time. And for some reason, my slides aren't moving forward. Technical difficulties. I haven't seen the technical. Is it going? Okay. Let's try it again. There we go. And my predecessor, Pat Wolf, many of you knew my predecessor, Pat, and she was at the museum, at the Anchorage Museum, for more than 30 years. And she did me a really great favor before she left. She didn't program the new 80,000 square foot expansion. She actually left me a blank canvas. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are coming down the pike for the Anchorage Museum, some of the great exhibits that we have in store for you. Those of you who have been there know that we have this beautiful glass facade of the Anchorage Museum. It was designed by British architect David Chipperfield. He's one of Europe's most established and popular architects at this time. I just got back from China, a 30-hour flight from Chengdu, China, and I found out that David Chipperfield actually has an office in Shanghai. I was able to stop in Shanghai on my way back here and spend a little time in China. If you remember watching the Olympics last year, you heard about the big earthquake they had in western China. It pretty much devastated many communities in western China. It damaged or destroyed many museums in that region. So I went with a group of other museum professionals, and we spent 2.5 weeks in western China helping the folks there restructure their museums and rehouse the collections that were damaged in the earthquake. So I'm a little loopy from the 30-hour plane flight. But anyway, this is a shot just before we open the expansion. We have an ice-free promenade, so this winter nobody should be able to slip on the ice on their way to the Anchorage Museum. This is a shot of opening day on May 30th. And how many of you were actually there on opening day? A few of you. Well, we had planned, the most people we've ever had at the Anchorage Museum up until May 30th was 3,400 people in one day. And we doubled that. We said, okay, let's double that number. We'll expect 7,000 people to come to the museum on opening day. We had over 15,000 people show up on opening day. It was pretty incredible. We are very honored to have Mary Louise Rasmussen there. As you know, her husband Elmer, on the occasion of his 90th birthday, gifted $50 million to help start the expansion process. That was back in 1990, I believe. Was it 1998. And so Mary Louise was there, 98 years young, to cut the ribbon of the new expansion, so we were very happy to have her there. And we had wonderful performances that day. We opened an incredible exhibit called Gold in honor of the state's golden anniversary. And I know not everybody could get into the Gold exhibit on opening day because we actually were hitting fire code capacity all day long, occupancy capacity for that gallery. And I'm glad that many of you came back to see the Gold exhibit. And we actually, even on Sunday morning, we had a little Tai Chi to calm the nerves after the opening day. And I think they want to make this a regular occurrence at the museum, have Tai Chi in the mornings at the museum, which would be great. This is a shot of our bright yellow lobby. If you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you'll love our new lobby. It's black and yellow. But the designers, and Rick probably knows more about this than I do, but the idea was to bring in a lot of bright color, especially in the wintertime when it's dark and cold outside, to kind of liven things up. We have a beautiful new resource center on the first floor. We took our library and archives out of the second floor and moved it up front center, and it's free to the public. People will have access to over 500,000 historic photographs, 12,000 volumes on Alaska history. This is a shot of the interior of the new resource center, brand new compact storage. We have a private elevator that goes down into additional archival storage, so we have a little bit of room to expand. And right now we're working on digitizing our collections, our 500,000 historic photographs, and eventually those will be up on the web, and people from around the world will have access to Alaska history and culture. This is another shot of the exterior of the Anchorage Museum. We're in the process of planting 300 birch trees on the grounds of the museum, and that should be done hopefully by the end of August. It'll be our version of Central Park, since we're talking about New York and the Met and the hip place. We'll have our little version of Central Park in front of the Anchorage Museum. We'll have a plot of land out in front, about two-thirds the size of a football field, and we're working with the opera, and we have plans to have opera on the lawn next summer. So that'll be very exciting for Anchorage. This is a shot of our new restaurant, the Muse Restaurant. Marx Brothers, the folks that run Marx Brothers, won the contract for the new restaurant, and it is a great place for lunch, and soon they're working on getting a liquor license and thinking about keeping the restaurant open into the evening hours up until about 9 o'clock. And I said, if you're going to have a liquor license, you have to have the pepper martini. So they're working on the formula for the new pepper martini. But please come by and have lunch at the Muse Cafe. And again, we'll hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll be open later and we'll have live music in the evenings. Give Sullivan's a run for its money and the other folks downtown. This is a shot of the grand stairwell in the new expansion, and if you stand on it, I encourage you to walk up there and look over the railing on the second floor, and you'll see it's cantilevered. It's a floating staircase, and it's quite a bit of engineering that went into that staircase there. And it's surrounded by Douglas fir battens. And this is a shot of the second floor. This is not open yet. This will open in May. Now, while I was at the Smithsonian Institution, I helped sign an historic agreement to have an actual Smithsonian Museum embedded within the Anchorage Museum. And we're going to open this again next May and bring 600 artifacts that originated from Alaska out of the coffers of the Smithsonian Institution for long-term display here in Anchorage. And this is a rendering of what that exhibition looks like. The designers of this exhibit, Ralph Applebaum and Associates, they're the designers that designed the exhibits at the Holocaust Museum. If you've been to Washington, D.C. lately, there's a brand new museum called the Newseum. They designed that museum. So we have some world-renowned folks helping us design the exhibits at the Anchorage Museum. This is a shot of the fourth floor of the Anchorage Museum. This is just before we opened. And this is a great venue for small gatherings and activities. We can have solo shows on that floor. We just had a wedding reception there last night. I think we had about 115 people up for a wedding reception. The best view of the Chugach Mountains in town. So that's if you're looking for a venue for private events, this is a great place to consider. Now there's more. And I want to talk about what's coming down the pike. What we have opening also in May, along with the Arctic Study Center, the Smithsonian Arctic Study Center, is the brand new Imaginarium. Many of you know that the Imaginarium is on Fifth Avenue right now, below Orso's. Well, we're going to be shutting that facility down at the end of August and start design. Or we have the new exhibits being designed right now, being fabricated, and we're going to open up a brand new 10,000 square foot Imaginarium, and we've got all brand new bells and whistles. We'll have an earthquake simulator. You can build a model of downtown Anchorage and destroy it with a 6.4 earthquake, or 9.3, excuse me. We'll have an Aurora Borealis machine. You can create your own version of the Northern Lights. We'll have something called a magic planet. It's a giant globe that we can project the surface of any planet on. We can project the surface of the Earth and show real-time weather patterns happening. Lots of hands-on activities for kids. My favorite part, I don't know if I have a picture of it. Oh, this is, we have a kind of a nature and or natural science wing of the Imaginarium. We'll have a tidal pool touch tank. We'll have a moon jellyfish tank and lots of other activities for kids. And there's the shot of the magic planet that I was talking about. And my favorite addition to the Imaginarium is our 45-seat planetarium, the Lowell and Tay Thomas Planetarium. And I want to take a quick poll. We're going to have great programming in the planetarium, but for us big kids, I thought we would do something special. So for our first laser light show in the new planetarium, how many of you want to see the Beatles? Okay, Beatles. How many of you want to see Led Zeppelin? There's a few Led Zeppelin. Now, how many of you want to see Pink Floyd? All right. Okay. I think Pink Floyd has the edge there. Now, is it The Wall or Dark Side of the Moon? Well, okay, we'll do both. How's that? We'll do them both. So that'll open again in May as well, and we're very excited about that. But we're not stopping there. There's more. We had a grand opening May 30th, and we opened with one of the top 10 exhibits traveling the world right now. This is an exhibition called Gold, and we have gold from many different cultures and ages around the world. We talk about where gold comes from, how it's processed, how it's used in science and technology as a monetary source. We have an entire 300 square foot room made out of gold leaf, and you have to really come and experience that. A lot of people said they want to get married in this gold room. And we have Susan Sarandon's Oscar. That's Tom Brokaw's Emmy. We have Harrison Ford's Golden Globe in this exhibit. We have coins. We have coins from Alexander the Great, Caligula, ancient Roman coins, Greek coins, coins from different eras. We have gold from sunken Spanish galleons. We have this Wells Fargo green box, and they're a sponsor, by the way, of the exhibit. And my favorite section of the gold exhibit is we have a section on Alaska and Alaska gold mining, and we have a lot of historic photographs that we brought out of our own collection as well as other objects. And this is a piece from our collection, Gold Watch. So I encourage you all to come and see the gold exhibit in honor of the state's golden anniversary. It ends August 2nd, so you've got just about 3 weeks left to come see the show. Now there's more. Now that the Anchorage Museum is art, history, and science, I think the gold exhibit was a great exhibit to kind of showcase all three. But we're looking at bringing in some really cutting-edge contemporary artwork. And this is an exhibit called True North. It's curated by our own Dave Nichols at the museum and Julie Decker. We're going to give the Met a run for its money. These are some of the best installation and multimedia artists from around the circumpolar north. And we're featuring artists from Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Iceland, Greenland, Russia, Canada, and the United States. And this will open next year, next fall. And there's more. How many of you know who this guy is? That's Mr. Andy Warhol. And we're working with the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh. And I have a good friend who's the deputy director at the Warhol Museum. And I told her that I was moving to Anchorage, Alaska, into this beautiful new building. And I asked her, I said, hey, you know, do you have any Andy Warhol exhibits that you're traveling around right now? And she said, well, all of our exhibits are out there. But Jim, we're handing you the keys to the archives and to the collections, and you can design your own Andy Warhol exhibit. So we are bringing 60 original Andy Warhols right here to Anchorage, Alaska. And this will be in early 2011, so we're working on that right now. So we'll have some of the iconic artwork from Andy Warhol. And it'll be a lot of fun. Most of our exhibits that we're designing, that we are putting together, we're also including family-friendly activities and hands-on activities for kids. So we'll have educational components that go along with these great exhibitions. I didn't realize he designed the MTV logo. So we'll have that in the exhibit as well. So there's more. If that's not enough for you guys, there's more. Now, some of you saw one of our great exhibits that we had last year. It was probably the best kept secret in Anchorage, but we did an exhibit on Yupik culture called Yupik Science. And we're working with Dena'ina folks now to develop the most comprehensive exhibition on Dena'ina culture in the world, pulling collections not only from Alaska and the United States, but from Russia and Canada as well. And this will be our summer show in 2011. And some great pieces here on Dena'ina culture. I can't come from the National Museum of the American Indian and not feature Native culture and history at the Anchorage Museum. Now, there's more. Now, how many of you saw the T-Rex named Sue at the museum a few years back? I think that was our most popular exhibition up to this point. Well, we're working with the same folks out of the Field Museum of Chicago, and we're developing an exhibition. We'll be one of the first venues to receive this exhibition on mammoths and mastodons. So we won't just have one T-Rex skeleton. We're going to have mammoths, mastodons, saber-toothed tigers, giant sloths, you name it. And how many of you have seen on the Discovery Channel the show on Lubia, this baby mammoth that was discovered in Siberia a few years ago? This was on the cover of National Geographic last month, I believe. Well, Lubia is a fully preserved baby mammoth found in Siberia, and we just cut a deal with the Russian government and the Field Museum, and we'll be one of only three venues in North America to have Lubia come. So we'll actually have this baby mammoth in the exhibition, Mammoths and Mastodons. But there's more. Now, how many of you have heard of Captain Cook? Well, Captain Cook plays a very important role in the history of this particular area, but nobody's ever done an exhibition on Captain Cook in the North Pacific, a comprehensive exhibition on Captain Cook in the North Pacific. It's always Captain Cook in the South Pacific. So, we are working with the British Museum and the British Library to develop a major exhibition on Captain Cook's adventures in Alaska and along the North Pacific coast. And we are bringing actual artifacts from the Cook expedition and hopefully including his original logbook from his time in Alaska. These are some of the items that he collected in the Pacific Northwest on his third voyage. Now, if that's not enough for you, there's more. How many of you have heard of, how many of you have not heard of Star Wars? Well, we're working with George Lucas, Lucasfilm, and the Boston Museum of Science this coming February. Coming right up, we are bringing Star Wars Where Science Meets Imagination right here to Anchorage, Alaska. These are all the props from the Star Wars movies, all the little models they use for the spaceships. We'll have all the costumes from the Star Wars, all six Star Wars movies. We'll have lots of hands-on activities for kids to get kids excited about science. We'll have a droid workshop. Kids can build their own R2-D2. Of course, Darth Vader will be in the exhibit. We'll have Luke Skywalker's original land speeder. We'll have a full-scale model of the Millennium Falcon, of the bridge of the Millennium Falcon. You can sit in it and fly through hyperspace. We're actually going to put that in the atrium of the museum, so that'll be a lot of fun. George Lucas talks about the inspiration for some of the characters in Star Wars. He says Yoda is a cross between the Dalai Lama and Einstein. Now, if that's not enough for you guys, we're bringing the number one show in the world right here to Anchorage, Alaska next summer, starting in May. And how many can guess? How many of you can guess what that is? We're bringing Body Worlds 2. It's an exhibition of real human bodies, and some of you have heard about this. And you've all had lunch now, so I'm going to go ahead and show you these slides. But Body Worlds is the most popular show in the world. I think close to 30 million people have seen this show. It's been traveling around the world. There is another competing exhibition called Body Works, I think, and that's a little more controversial. It's unknown where the donations came from those bodies. But this one is produced out of Germany, and I had an opportunity to fly down to San Diego a few months ago to see the opening of this exhibit that we're getting, and this is going to be fantastic. We'll have probably close to 20 actual human bodies in the exhibit, as well as different animals and other items of anatomy in that particular exhibition. So we're very, very excited about that. Usually the Body Worlds folks won't take their exhibition unless there's a critical mass of about 1 million people in a particular metropolitan area. And as you know, we only have 750,000 people in the entire state. So it was really a coup for us to get this particular exhibit. So we're very, very excited about it. And those are some of the exciting things that are coming down the pike. Now, in addition to all of these great shows that I just mentioned to you, we have, of course, we feature our local artists. We have lots of solo shows. We're still doing the perennial shows, the juried art shows. Earth, Fire, and Fiber is opening up this fall. We'll still do the arts and crafts fairs and so on. So we're still keeping the best things that we offer here in Alaska, but bringing some of the best things around the world right here to Anchorage, Alaska for all of you. So that is my presentation today, and I hope all of you are excited, or as excited as I am, about the Anchorage Museum. And I want to tell you, now is the best time to join the Anchorage Museum, because our rates will be going up slightly in January, and it's the best deal in town for $50 for an individual, $65 for a family. That's for an entire year. You know, you go to a health club, health clubs cost you between $80 and $90 a month. Well, $65 for the entire year will get you into some of the best exhibitions in the world. So please consider joining the Anchorage Museum. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have the raffle. David.
We have $107 in the pot, and we got to ask our guest speaker here to draw the winning ticket.
Looks like you took us out of our gold exhibit.
We did take it out of the gold exhibit. We have ticket 00. Dave.
00?
Okay, Dave.
Okay. While David's getting ready here to compete for the money, let me remind everybody, 6 to 9 p.m. Monday for a little farewell to Jimmy and his family at Sandra's house. And she'll get reminders out to us. Friday, July 25th, the Friendship Exchange for the people from Taipei. And road cleanup on July 29th at 5:30 p.m. And check with John Cesata. Okay, David, you're the man.
It's an 8-foot putt. He's going for half the pot. He
goes
for
the bigger,
to go
bigger
for the whole pot.
Dave's a pretty good golfer here. He's got a shot.
Yeah, he's got a. You can tell this guy's a putter. He's serious. Missed it.
Oh, very close.
And
very
the pot continues to grow.
Okay, thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Ha, ha, ha.